CBSI on the World. I'm John Batts with Bill Raja, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal. He edits it. And a note here, we're talking about Afghanistan and things that we need to learn, things that Bill would like to learn from new revelations that are guaranteed to come forth from hearings in Washington when the House of Representatives changes hands. This will be an opportunity for the Republicans to make, yes, partisan gains, but maybe to unearth documents we don't have about decisions that were made 2021 before the quitting of Afghanistan. And Bill, the big one for me is Bagram and the abandonment of Bagram, so that the evacuation leading to the deaths of American citizens and the abandonment of hundreds, maybe thousands of people who were at risk because they had aided the NATO forces over the years. The concentration on the Kabul International Airport meant that the evacuation was hectic, was out of order, was disordered, was violent. Do you have clarity about why Bagram was left out of the formula of withdrawal?
Yeah, John, that is a great question. And we have some clarity. We know that some generals did object to closing Bagram. So the Biden administration, we need to know a couple of things before we even talk about Bagram here. And I'll lay them out really quick. What was the Biden administration's estimate for the Afghan government staying afloat during and after the transition of U.S. forces out of country? My own indications, I've heard two years plus, and then we saw over the summer that estimate kept getting chopped in half. Now, because of that, then they said, well, we'll keep 1,000 troops in country. And because of that, we said, well, we can't keep Bagram open with 1,000 troops. So we'll operate out of Kabul International. It used to be Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, as you noted, a terrible location to conduct a withdrawal. Anyone who's been there, I've been to Kabul. You literally, it's Kabul International. I live in the Philadelphia. Philadelphia International Airport is miles and miles outside of the city. Kabul International, you're three kilometers or about a mile and a half from the center of the city. You're landing in the city, and then it's in a bowl, right? It's the perfect location for an enemy to shell your airport if the Taliban was depressed. And they did surround Kabul very quickly. We need to understand that decision-making process of this is why I'm all for the Republicans going in and getting to the bottom of why this happened, how this decision. So we need to understand how they made this decision. What were the estimates of the strength of the Afghan government, the Afghan military? What we're going to find out, John, is that either we didn't understand how strong or really how weak the Afghan military and the Afghan government were, or we did understand and we executed this withdrawal cynically and abandoned a key asset, which is Bagram, in order to just, fulfill the political objective by the Biden administration of leaving Afghanistan. I suspect that's what we're going to find. Our generals, like General McKenzie, had come out and said, yeah, well, I disagreed with that decision. Well, why did you stay then? How could you? I knew this. As a guy sitting here in the United States analyzing this, that this withdrawal would be a catastrophe. I actually said at one point last spring, or the spring of 2001, I said the Afghan government would be lucky to make it out by the end of the summer. My estimate was six weeks too optimistic. It fell by August 15th. I knew this. People who watched this closely understood this. How could a multi-billion dollar defense and intelligence agencies, how could they not get this right? Did they not understand what was happening, or did they understand and just executed policy anyway in order to satisfy their political masters? I'm not saying they should have opposed it, but look, if I'm General McKenzie and look, any Lieutenant John would, or any sergeant would look at this withdrawal and go, we're going to lose people. This is going to be a disaster. I can't do this. Well, General has the ability to resign in protest, and that's what General McKenzie should have done. That's what generals should have done. They should have refused to execute this policy. So this is why I want to get to the bottom of this, to see what we knew, what we understood, what we didn't know. It's very important going forward if we're going to get in conflicts with potentially Russia or China. If you can't objectively look at what's happening in Afghanistan in a small war, what makes me think that we're going to be able to successfully prosecute a large war?
And I want to speak to what we know of the region right now, because you keep watch on all of this. The Taliban, I want to emphasize here, Bill, the Taliban is not a government. The Taliban is what it was all those decades of brutality. They're sadistic. They live by the rule of gun. They're welcoming to bad actors. Hence, Zawahiri died in a dacha provided by the Taliban to him to lead al-Qaeda. And they are hostile to their neighbors, although recently you documented a so-called delegation of the Taliban touring Turkey to plaudits, I presume, and connections. So is the Taliban used as an excuse for why we don't go back and negotiate with some elements of the society? You know, a civil society doesn't require anything other than this Times reporter, London Times reporter, wandering around and documenting the appalling conditions. That is possible. What does the Taliban government represent to the U.S. today? A threat?
So, John, I would say the Taliban does have a government. It's just not the kind of government that we recognize, that we understand. It has a military. It has a police. Its government isn't for its people. Its government is for the Taliban. It's to impose Sharia. It's to impose its harsh version of Islamic law on the Afghan people. Once you understand that, then you understand why they really don't care that people are starving or you know, suffering from, you know, floods and things of this nature. Because the Taliban care about ruling first and foremost. I don't think it's possible. As a matter of fact, I know it's not possible in Afghanistan, where the Taliban control access to everything. And they, you know, they're a government. They're an oppressive government. You can't get aid to the people without going through the Taliban. And you so this, and this does pose a very big problem for the administration, as well it should, because look, no one feels for the Afghan people more than I do. I followed this. It was frustrating. It almost broke me last summer watching what happened and how we abandoned the people that, you know, imperfect as the Afghans are, you know, they stuck with us for 20 years and we left them in the lurch to monsters. And but how do we reengage? How do we get aid to the people without going through the Taliban? And the problem is when the Taliban is sheltering people like Ayman al-Zawahiri. And look, the U.S. people in U.S. intelligence and military, they know that the Taliban is sheltering other al-Qaeda leaders. And if that comes out that we're funding the Afghan government, which, by the way, we are. The SIGAR just reported a couple of months ago that the U.S. $1.1 billion in aid to the Afghanistan, that Treasury and State Department and USAID refused to tell SIGAR where that money went.
Yes, the headline is the U.S. has funneled more than $1 billion into Afghanistan since the fall of Kabul. Bill Raja, we will continue this conversation because the London Times appeal at Christmas is information that America all needs to have, because ask yourself, is this possible in Ukraine as well? Abandonment. Bill Raggio, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.